This is the reading for April 21st. Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will thank the Lord with all my heart in the meeting of His good people. The Lord does great things. Those who enjoy them seek Him. What He does is glorious and splendid, and His goodness continues forever. His miracles are unforgettable. The Lord is kind and merciful. He gives food to those who fear Him. He remembers His agreement forever. He has shown His people His power when He gave them the lands of other nations. Everything He does is good and fair. All His orders can be trusted. They will continue forever. They were made true and right. He sets His people free. He made His agreement everlasting. He is holy and wonderful. Wisdom begins with respect for the Lord. Those who obey His orders have good understanding. He should be praised forever. Joshua chapter 9. Abimelech, son of Gideon, went to his uncles in the city of Shechem. He said to his uncles and all of his mother's family group, "Ask the leaders of Shechem, is it better for the 70 sons of Gideon to rule over you or for one man to rule? Remember, I am your relative." Abimelech's uncle spoke to all the leaders of Shechem about this, and they decided to follow Abimelech because they said, "He is our relative." So the leaders of Shechem gave Abimelech about 1¾ pounds of silver from the temple of the god Baal-berith. Abimelech used the silver to hire some worthless, reckless men who followed him wherever he went. He went to Ophrah, the hometown of his father, and murdered his 70 brothers, the sons of Gideon. He killed them all on one stone. But Gideon's youngest son, Jotham, hid from Abimelech and escaped. Then all of the leaders of Shechem and Beth-Millo gathered beside the great tree standing in Shechem. There they made Abimelech their king. When Jotham heard this, he went and stood on the top of Mount Gerizim. He shouted to the people, "Listen to me, you leaders of Shechem, so that God will listen to you. One day the trees decided to appoint a king to rule over them. They said to the olive tree, 'You be king over us.' But the olive tree said, 'Men and gods are honored by my oil. Should I stop making it and go and sway over the other trees?' Then the tree said to the fig tree, 'Come and be king over us.' But the fig tree answered, 'Should I stop making my sweet and good fruit and go and sway over the other trees?' Then the tree said to the vine, 'Come and be king over us.' But the vine answered, 'My new wine makes men and gods happy. Should I stop making it and go and sway over the trees?' Then all the trees said to the thorn bush, 'Come and be king over us.' But the thorn bush said to the trees, 'If you really want to appoint me king over you, come and find shelter in my shade. But if not, let fire come out of the thorn bush and burn up the cedars of Lebanon.' Now, were you completely honest and sincere when you made Abimelech king? Have you been fair to Gideon and his family? Have you treated Gideon as you should? Remember, my father fought for you and risked his life to save you from the power of the Midianites. But now you have turned against my father's family and have killed his 70 sons on one stone. You had made Abimelech, the son of my father's slave girl, king over the leaders of Shechem, just because he is your relative. So then, if you have been honest and sincere to Gideon and his family today, be happy with Abimelech as your king, and may he be happy with you. But if not, may fire come out of Abimelech and completely burn you leaders of Shechem and Beth-Millo. Also, may fire come out of the leaders of Shechem and Beth-Millo and burn up Abimelech." Then Jotham ran away and escaped to the city of Beer. He lived there because he was afraid of his brother Abimelech. Abimelech ruled Israel for 3 years. Then God sent an evil spirit to make trouble between Abimelech and the leaders of Shechem, so that the leaders of Shechem turned against him. Abimelech had killed Gideon's 70 sons, his own brothers, and the leaders of Shechem had helped him. So God sent the evil spirit to punish them. The leaders of Shechem were against Abimelech then. They put men on the hilltops in ambush who robbed everyone going by, and Abimelech was told. A man named Gaal, son of Ebed, and his brothers moved into Shechem, and the leaders of Shechem trusted him. They went out to the vineyards to pick grapes, and they squeezed the grapes. Then they had a feast in the temple of their god, where they ate and drank and cursed Abimelech. Gaal, son of Ebed, said, "We are the men of Shechem. Who is Abimelech that we should serve him? Isn't he one of Gideon's son, and isn't Zebal his officer? We should serve the men of Hamor, Shechem's father. Why should we serve Abimelech? If you made me commander of these people, I would get rid of Abimelech. I would say to him, get your army ready and come out to battle. Now when Zebal, the ruler of Shechem, heard what Gaal, son of Ebed, said, he was very angry. He sent secret messengers to Abimelech, saying, Gaal, son of Ebed, and Gaal's brothers have come to Shechem, and they are turning the city against you. You and your men should get up during the night and hide in the fields outside the city. As soon as the sun comes up in the morning, attack the city. When Gaal and his men come out to fight you, do what you can to them. So Abimelech and all his soldiers got up during the night and hid near Shechem in four groups. Gaal, son of Ebed, went out and was standing at the entrance to the city gate. As he was standing there, Abimelech and his soldiers came out of their hiding places. When Gaal saw the soldiers, he said to Zebal, look, there are people coming down from the mountains. But Zebal said, you are seeing the shadows of the mountains. The shadows just look like people. But again, Gaal said, look, there are people coming down from the center of the land, and there is a group coming from the fortune teller's tree. Zebal said to Gaal, where is your bragging now? You said, who is Abimelech that we should serve him? You made fun of these men. Now go out and fight them. So Gaal led the men of Shechem out to fight Abimelech. Abimelech and his men chased them, and many of Gaal's men were killed before they could get back to the city gate. While Abimelech stayed at Arumah, Zebal forced Gaal and his brothers to leave Shechem. The next day, the people of Shechem went out to the fields. When Abimelech was told about it, he separated his men into three groups and hid them in the fields. When he saw the people coming out of the city, he jumped up and attacked them. Abimelech and his group ran to the entrance gate to the city. The other two groups ran out to the people in the fields and struck them down. Abimelech and his men fought the city of Shechem all day until they captured it and killed its people. Then he tore it down and threw salt over the ruins. When the leaders who were in the tower of Shechem heard what had happened to Shechem, they gathered in the safest room of the temple of El-Berith. Abimelech heard that all the leaders of the tower of Shechem had gathered there. So he and his men went up Mount Zalmon near Shechem. Abimelech took an axe and cut some branches and put them on his shoulders. He said to all those with him, hurry, do what I have done. So all those men cut branches and followed Abimelech and piled them against the safest room of the temple. Then they set them on fire and burned the people inside. So all the people who were at the tower of Shechem also died, about 1,000 men and women. Then Abimelech went to the city of Thebez. He surrounded the city, attacked it, and captured it. But inside the city was a strong tower. So all the men, women, and leaders of that city ran to the tower. When they got inside, they locked the door behind them. Then they climbed up to the roof of the tower. Abimelech came to the tower to attack it. He approached the door of the tower to set it on fire. But as he came near, a woman dropped a grinding stone on his head, crushing his skull. He quickly called to the officer who carried his armor and said, take out your sword and kill me. I don't want people to say a woman killed Abimelech. So the officer stabbed Abimelech and he died. When the people of Israel saw Abimelech was dead, they all returned home. In that way, God punished Abimelech for all the evil he had done to his father by killing his 70 brothers. God also punished the men of Shechem for the evil they had done. So the curse spoken by Jotham, the youngest son of Gideon, came true. Judges chapter 10. After Abimelech died, another judge came to save Israel. He was Tola, son of Pua, the son of Dodo. Tola was from the people of Issachar and lived in the city of Shamir in the mountains of Ephraim. Tola was a judge for Israel for 23 years. Then he died and was buried in Shamir. After Tola died, Jair from the region of Gilead became judge. He was a judge for Israel for 22 years. Jair had 30 sons who rode 30 donkeys. These 30 sons controlled 30 towns in Gilead, which are called the towns of Jair to this day. Jair died and was buried in the city of Kamon. Again, the Israelites did what the Lord said was wrong. They worshipped Baal and Ashtoreth, the gods of Aram, Sidon, Moab, and Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines. The Israelites left the Lord and stopped serving him, so the Lord was angry with them and handed them over to the Philistines and the Ammonites. In the same year, those people destroyed the Israelites who lived east of the Jordan River in the region of Gilead, where the Amorites lived. So the Israelites suffered for 18 years. The Ammonites then crossed the Jordan River to fight the people of Judah, Benjamin, and Ephraim, causing much trouble to the people of Israel. So the Israelites cried out to the Lord, "We have sinned against you. We left our God and worshipped the Baal idols." The Lord answered the Israelites, "When the Egyptians, Amorites, Ammonites, Philistines, Sidonians, Amalekites, and Maonites were cruel to you, you cried out to me and I saved you. But now you have left me again and have worshipped other gods, so I refuse to save you again. You have chosen those gods, so go call to them for help. Let them save you when you are in trouble." But the people of Israel said to the Lord, "We have sinned. Do to us whatever you want, but please save us today." Then the Israelites threw away the foreign gods among them, and they worshipped the Lord again. So he felt sorry for them when he saw their suffering. The Ammonites gathered for war and camped in Gilead. The Israelites gathered and camped in Mizpah. The leaders of the people of Gilead said, "Who will lead us to attack the Ammonites? He will become the head of all those who live in Gilead."
Chapter 16.
Then Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a business manager. The manager was accused of wasting the rich man's property. So the rich man called for his manager and said to him, 'What's this I hear about you? Let me examine your books. It's obvious that you can't manage my property any longer.' The manager thought, 'What should I do? My master is taking my job away from me. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that people will welcome me into their homes when I've lost my job.' So the manager called for each one of his master's debtors. He said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' The debtor replied, 800 gallons of olive oil. The manager told him, 'Take my master's ledger. Quick, sit down and write 400. Then he asked another debtor, 'How much do you owe?' The debtor replied, 1,000 bushels of wheat. The manager told him, 'Take the ledger and write 800. The master praised the dishonest manager for being so clever. Worldly people are more clever than spiritually minded people when it comes to dealing with others. Jesus continued, "I'm telling you that although wealth is often used in dishonest ways, you should use it to make friends for yourselves. When life is over, you will be welcomed into an eternal home. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with a lot. Whoever is dishonest with very little is dishonest with a lot. Therefore, if you can't be trusted with wealth that is often used dishonestly, who will trust you with wealth that is real? If you can't be trusted with someone else's wealth, who will give you your own? A servant cannot serve two masters. He will hate the first master and love the second, or he will be devoted to the first and despise the second. You cannot serve God and wealth." The Pharisees, who love money, heard all this and were making sarcastic remarks about him. So Jesus said to them, "You try to justify your actions in front of people, but God knows what's in your hearts. What is important to humans is disgusting to God. Moses' teachings and the prophets were in force until the time of John. Since that time, people have been telling the good news about the kingdom of God, and everyone is trying to force their way into it. It is easier for the earth and the heavens to disappear than to drop a comma from Moses' teachings. Any man who divorces his wife to marry another woman is committing adultery. The man who marries a woman divorced in this way is committing adultery. There was a rich man who wore expensive clothes. Every day was like a party to him. There was also a beggar named Lazarus who was regularly brought to the gate of the rich man's house. Lazarus would have eaten any scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Lazarus was covered with sores, and dogs would lick them. One day the beggar died, and the angels carried him to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. He went to hell, where he was constantly tortured. As he looked up, in the distance he saw Abraham and Lazarus. He yelled, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water to cool off my tongue. I am suffering in this fire." Abraham replied, "Remember, my child, that you had a life filled with good times, while Lazarus' life was filled with misery. Now he has peace here while you suffer. Besides, a wide area separates us. People couldn't cross it in either direction, even if they wanted to." The rich man responded, "Then I ask you, Father, to send Lazarus back to my father's home. I have five brothers. He can warn them so that they won't end up in this place of torture." Abraham replied, "They have Moses' teachings and the prophets. Your brothers should listen to them." The rich man replied, "No, Father Abraham. If someone comes back to them from the dead, they will turn to God and change the way they think and act." Abraham answered him, "If they won't listen to Moses' teachings and the prophets, they won't be persuaded even if someone comes back to life."